Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information, and support.
Interestingly, in some areas of sport, there's a greater participation by older, blind and partially sighted people than by younger, vision-impaired people, depending on the sport, of course. So sport really is something that can be and is being enjoyed by people who live with sight loss, both at an elite level and by those who just want to have a bit of fun, socialise and, to some extent, keep fit. British Blind Sport, or BBS for short, is a charity which, as its name suggests, promotes, encourages and enables sport for blind and partially sighted people of all ages and sporting experience. Some sports like archery, athletics, bocce, judo, tennis, cricket, football, target shooting, tenpin bowling and goalball, they actively organise themselves. Others they work alongside and encourage as necessary. To find out a little more about just what is available to someone who might want to try any sport, we spoke to George Ferguson, Sport Development Advisor for BBS, and we started by discussing football.
Well, there's two various methods of playing visually impaired football. One is totally blind, and that's played with an audible football. So basically, there's bearings inside the ball that continually make a noise when the ball's moving. Totally blind players wear blindfolds. They play on a futsal pitch, which is predominantly a five-a-side pitch. Predominantly outside, they play their sports, but there's no boards behind the goals. So futsal is all about keeping the ball in within the lines, but obviously within blind football it's difficult to ascertain where the lines are, so we use the boards down the side, so that keeps the ball in play more. Then we have coaches on the side, and we'll have a coach behind the goal, so that'll orientate the players as well. So it's 5v5, but there are fully sighted goalkeepers, so it's effectively four blind players against four. Partially sighted football is slightly different. It probably looks and is more mainstream, where we still have impairment-specific provision within the partially sighted element, but they just tend to just use the same rules, the same size pitch, same goals. They do use partially sighted goalkeepers, but if you looked at a partially sighted game, you probably wouldn't think there was much difference compared to a mainstream game.
And is there a difference as far as accessibility is concerned where people can play at local sports clubs, maybe even local football clubs, or is it rather patchy across the UK?
It's very patchy. What we tend to find is if professional clubs are providing community provision, as in their football in the community services, then there possibly is either pan-disability sports or possibly even impairment-specific. The FA have the Centre of Excellence programmes and also the player development centres, where you'll find under 16 level from the age of 12 to 16, they have their centres that mix with the deaf. Then you have the blind centres where there's predominantly just blind players taking part in that. Then the older age group, 16 plus, you tend to find the pathway opportunities are within the partially sighted British Blind Sport League or the Blind FA League as well.
Now, I'm thinking especially in this year of the Commonwealth Games, as I remember back to the Olympic Games in London. And of course, we watched some blindness-specific sports like goalball, for example. Perhaps I should ask you to please explain the rules of the game.
The rules of the game within goalball are that essentially at domestic level you can effectively have three fully sighted players playing in a 3-versus-3 game, and that's how goalball is played. The width of the goal is very wide. It's the length of three people lying down toe-to-head against each other, so it's something like 12 to 15 foot. And the idea is that you throw the ball into the other person's goal 3v3. Internationally, you have to be either partially sighted or blind to play the game, and all the players wear blindfolds. So it's a very inclusive sport. You tend to find a lot of goalball provision within the universities throughout the UK, which means that obviously the sport's a lot more inclusive. Goalball is widespread across the UK, and the development team within goalball are actually doing a fantastic job, and people are able to participate locally. But there's still a lot of work to be done out there. That means that a lot more teams can be born.
OK, let's switch tack now. Let's move to something like archery. Now, Blind Veterans UK, formerly St Dunstan's, they have people who are pretty expert blind archers. Is that a sport that's also popular outside military circles, if you like?
Yeah, there's a committee that and a sports section of British Blind Sports that actually organise national provision for blind and partially sighted people to participate in the sport. We do tend to find that there's not that younger age group involved in the sport. There's some middle age, but predominantly the older age. So there's one thing that we would like to do is obviously look at that and try and develop more opportunities at local level, particularly within the educational services, to try and introduce archery at that level.
I'm wondering again about accessibility. Presumably you can't just pop along as a blind archer or as someone who wants wants to learn archery and say, can I please join your sighted archery group? Because they presumably have to make provision for that.
Well, what we have to do, if somebody makes an inquiry to say, I want to play archery and there's no current provision in that area within a mainstream club, we'll speak to our sports section and they'll actually go into that area and work with those people within the mainstream club to make their club more inclusive, to provide them with the necessary equipment and show them and demonstrate to them how people participate within the sport.
So it's definitely doable then, but it's a matter of having a bit of help and encouragement to make the sighted world, if you like, accommodate blind and partially sighted archers.
Very much so. It's about educating the educators. It's about educating the coaches to provide opportunities for visually impaired people. So when they walk through the door, there's a fully accessible and inclusive environment, but it's also a welcoming environment as well.
Okay, away from dry land, swimming, I know, is another sport that you at BBS are keen to promote. Again, how easy is that to do at one's local swimming club? Because one thinks that at least most people should have a swimming pool not too far from them.
Yeah, so what we do, we work with the National Governing Body, which is the Amateur Swimming Association and British Swimming. We've actually just produced a visually impaired friendly swimming resource, which is an educational resource that can be used by teachers or swimming club coaches. And it allows them to pick up this document and say, right, how do I include a visually impaired person within my session? Within the Amateur Swimming Association, there's a network of hubs around the country, which we can then signpost people to that we know are VI friendly. So the lessons and the classes and the provision within that environment is inclusive. Not all swimming clubs are up to scratch at the moment, but the ones in those hubs are recognised as being able to provide opportunities for the VI community.
Of course, some individual blind and partially sighted people may firstly feel a bit reluctant to go along on their own and say, excuse me, can I use your swimming pool? But they may have a sighted friend or indeed a carer who could accompany them. Presumably, talking to you and perhaps using the services of a sighted friend or carer, that makes these things more doable, does it, at a local level?
Very much so. I think a lot of it is all about that support local to visually impaired people. We do find that logistically, that's where the issues can lie. It might not just be the service provider, but getting the people to the centre. So having that support and that infrastructure around partially sighted and blind people is paramount to getting people more involved in sport.
Now, apologies, George, I know I'm swapping around from one sport to another, I was thinking about the different types of bowling that there are. There's this green bowling, of course, and then there are types of boule, which I know can be played by some blind and partially sighted people. But I get the feeling that 10-pin bowling, or a version of that, is probably the most popular form of bowling for blind and partially sighted people.
It's very popular. We also have a sports section that do 10-pin bowling. It's a very, very well-organised sports section. They do a postal league, so you go down to your local bowling alley, you post your results off, and then they also meet up about three or four times a year to play in different championships, which some are qualifying championships and some are just invitational ones. And at these events, that's where it's an opportunity for VIs to play against VIs, but also socialise at the same time and have an evening out together or organise a function that evening. So it's not always just about the sporting opportunities, it's about how people interact socially. They all have a lot in common, and that's what sport for visually impaired people predominantly is all about.
And a local bowling complex with the bumpers, I think, put up at the sides to make sure that the ball doesn't go down into the gullies, but otherwise probably no quarter given. It makes a very competitive game, doesn't it? And as you say, played at all different levels.
You'll be surprised at the level that these guys are bowling at. Even the blind players, a lot of them don't use the bumpers on the sides. They're actually that good. And to be recognised even as an international bowler, you're certainly not allowed to use the bumpers on the side. But that doesn't detract from the people who want to use the bumpers. They're allowed to use that at domestic level. And there's a handicap system in place, a bit like golf, where you know people are rated on a handicap system on their ability. That's used within 10-pin bowling as well. So even though you've got your more elite bowlers playing against just your participation grassroots bowlers and people who are just trying it for the first time, there's a system in place there where there's a more of a level playing field.
I'm glad you mentioned golf, because that's another sport we could talk about, because there are active blind golf clubs in England and Scotland, and I know that they embrace people from all over the UK who compete as well. But perhaps we could move on to athletics, because again, another potentially competitive area where people want to sort of better themselves, perhaps want to prove themselves against another athlete, but also it can be done at a more leisurely pace. How active are local sports clubs, and how active are you working with them to make the different forms of athletics accessible to a vision impaired person?
Well, we work very closely with England Athletics, which is one of my priority sports at BBS. And we also work with British Athletics as well. And what we try to do is to make sure that local clubs are inclusive as possible. So someone with a visual impairment can go down to their local club. We also ensure that through working with the England Athletics that we've produced a CPD course for coaches, which allows them to become more aware of visual impairments, but also how to guide a visually or totally blind person within a running session. So the Run England group activities, they're not organised clubs, they're just your local coordinator who's a leader of a group who wants to go running locally. They'll offer opportunities through this training for visually impaired people to get involved as well. We also work with Action for Blind, who host a national junior athletics event up in Sheffield, and that's on the 4th of October of this year, where it gives an opportunity for juniors to go up and try the different athletic disciplines against other visually impaired people as well. There's also a large club down based in London called Metro Sport, and you can actually apply to become part of that as well. So there's a lot of opportunities there for visually impaired people to get in, but there's also a pathway of opportunities all the way through to Paralympic level. We're very much grassroots and participation level, but we do also have a pathway for people working with the national governing bodies if they want to go and want to do further.
And finally, we started with football. Perhaps we ought to finish with cricket and blind cricket. Not the sound of leather on willow, is it? It's a special form of cricket, but a really competitive and skillful game.
Very much so. There's two different forms of the game. One, the domestic level, we play with a size 3 football, which is a mitre ball, and there's bearings inside that gives it audibility. A little bit different to playing with the cork on the willow, but even mainstream people who played the red ball game actually do struggle playing our version of the game because there's different skills involved. Domestically, we play with that size ball, and that's pretty much the only difference. But the rules around the players on the pitch, you have 4 totally blind players who are blindfolded and the rest are partially sighted. So it's 11v11 as normal. Then there's an international version of the game where we work closely with ECB to provide that opportunity, and they support that fantastically. But that's used with a small ball. So there's a little bit of discrepancy there between two different versions of the game, and it's something we're trying to pull more in line with each other, because internationally we don't always have the ruling of how the game's played, but domestically we do. So we work very closely with Blind Cricket England and Wales, which is BCUW, to support their service domestically, and we also work closely with them and ECB to provide or support the opportunities available to visually impaired people internationally as well.
Well, George, I guess we could probably talk about blind and partially sighted sport all day, because there are a lot we haven't mentioned, and there are a lot of, quite clearly from what you've told me already, a lot of opportunities out there. Should people feel, if you like, confident about maybe making local inquiries, maybe talking to you about sporting options, you know, whatever their age and indeed whatever their level of sight?
That's right, whatever their age, whatever their gender, whatever their level of sight, if people are interested in getting involved in sport, whether it be just to participate once or twice a week, whether it's to join their local gym, whether it's to get involved at club level, whether it's they have aspirations to go and perform internationally and have aspirations to be a Paralympian, then we will try and support that. We will connect them to the right organisations. We will support that and enable people to have those opportunities.
Now, as we've heard, there are various opportunities to take part in the sport of your choice, but things vary a great deal across the United Kingdom, depending on what mainstream sporting venues and clubs can offer locally to you and where sports organisations specifically for vision impaired people operate. You may find some local sight loss charities or local societies offer some sporting opportunities, or they have contacts with those who do. And if you'd like to take the first steps to finding out about taking part in any sport, you can contact British Blind Sport by phoning them on 01926 424247, or by emailing info@britishblindsport.org.uk.
You can contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.